Welcome to Da Vinci's Discourse, where the minds of today's most innovative entrepreneurs are unveiled and explored. And my name is Kyle Campbell, your guide on this journey into the depths of the entrepreneurial psyche. So sit back, relax, and get ready to dive into the minds of the greats. This is Da Vinci's Discourse.
All right, Jamie, it's awesome to have you here, man. So why don't we get into a little bit about you? I'm curious about you, dude. If somebody were to ask you, let's say at a coffee shop or at the bar or whatever, who you are? Interesting question. And I'm curious how you would answer it.
I love it. I say I'm a trailblazer.
Okay. So in what?
Literally.
Okay. All right. So get into it a little bit. Expound upon your trailblazing answer.
See what yeah. So I absolutely love what I do at Bottleneck. We're the world's first dedicated distant assistant company, but I have an extreme passion to drive the tractors and create side-by-side trails through our land there, and building the cabins and doing all that stuff that I've never done before. And for me, it's just a ton of fun. And so, you know, on the weekends, we get to kind of do a digital detox and go out to the wooded areas. And it's does wonders for keeping us motivated and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's a really good balance. I don't believe in work-life balance. I just believe in life balance. So I love trailblazing.
I love that, dude. I love not a work-life balance, but a life balance, because you don't differentiate between the two of them. It's interesting. It's a holistic viewpoint of the world, dude. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, seriously, man. And so let's get into what you do for a living, because two different questions. I love how you didn't answer them as one. So, you know, somebody asks you who you are, bam. Now, if somebody asks you what you did for a living, what would you tell them then?
I would tell them that we work really hard with the onset of technology. The talent pool has increased like there's nobody's business. So in essence, the world has really shrunk. I started sourcing my first candidate, meaning I went to hire an outsource from the Philippines in 2005. So 18 years.
Wow.
I've been doing this, and I absolutely love it. And so we are the world's first distant assistant company. So we found some challenges with the virtual assistant industry, and especially in the falling on the coattails of COVID and stuff like that, a lot of people thought we were AI or, you know, chatbots or things like that, because that gets associated with virtual assistants quite a bit. And I wanted to make sure that we differentiated ourselves, knowing that they were going to be hiring a real human being that was working from a remote location.
Yeah.
And so we messed around with that quite a while, and we finally landed on 6 roles, and we do only administrative support. So we don't do any sales, we don't do copywriting, and we don't do strategy, but we support all of those roles. And either an executive assistant or a bookkeeper, or a social media manager, success manager is becoming really popular, sales support, and customer service and project coordinators. Those are like the 6 core areas that we focus on. And we work with construction companies. Hard to believe, we really fit in good with construction companies.
We
didn't really know that.
Yeah. So yeah. How so? What do you mean? What are you doing with construction companies? Because they're not on site, you know, putting on the helmet and grabbing the tools. So what are they doing to support in terms of administrative work?
Well, we have one recruiter. In one construction company, we have 4 executive assistants helping out the C-level executives, the executives, supporting them by following up and staying on top of projects, managing their project management software, doing all of that kind of stuff. And then they needed some support in their recruiting because they're massively growing. It's a construction company in Canada. And because they're growing so much, they needed somebody to come in and support them. So they're reviewing resumes and reaching out and making sure all the stuff is done for the director of HR. And so it's really interesting seeing how the construction company can leverage those, because a lot of this, they never even heard of a virtual assistant when we first met. And so this is a new thing for them, because, you know, construction is a little bit, you know, it's you're out there working and going to job sites and doing things like that, and you wouldn't even realize that you can hire somebody remotely, save up to 70, 80% of what it would normally cost a person to be there in person. And so it's really worked well. And then we also work with funded startups and agencies like marketing agencies, digital agency, SEO agencies, things like that.
Interesting. Oh, I love it, dude. My girlfriend's dad built has a log home building company. I'm actually having him like at the beginning of the conversation. You said that you like to be out in the woods on the weekends in a cabin, and I'm having a wood cabin, like actual log cabin being built for me right now, which is freaking cool. So I'm stoked about
That's
that,
so
man. And
sweet.
so I think I'm gonna connect you with him because he needs some administrative help definitely, and he's paying a
Oh my
fortune
gosh.
for probably subpar work as opposed to what he can get in the Philippines for a hell of a lot cheaper, probably a hell of
Oh
a
my
lot
God.
better
I would
too.
love to talk to him. That's the because we built our first cabin. We're building four more, and
Yeah.
we're gonna do one log.
Interesting. The question is, dude, do they speak? This is probably a deal breaker, actually. Do they speak French? Because we're in Quebec here, and he's a French company. So in the
Oh.
Philippines, that's a totally different thing, right? We might have to go to
Yeah,
Central
totally
Africa
different thing.
for
So if it needs
that kind of a
so
deal.
we haven't run across I actually have one client in Paris, France, but they speak English.
All right. Okay. He speaks no English, which is,
Oh
yeah.
my
So
goodness, my goodness.
it's
Yeah,
like, good luck
that would
for
be a bit
me
of
at
a
Christmas
challenge.
dinner, man.
So
Yeah,
you're in Quebec.
I am in Quebec right now,
Oh,
huh?
fantastic. So are you a hockey fan?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I grew up playing hockey. Yeah.
Oh my
I
gosh,
lived,
that's
breathed, and bled hockey for quite a long time. Yes, definitely. What
Oh,
about you?
that's yeah. I played 46 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of the funnest sports on earth. I believe. I grew up in Alaska, so there's not much else you can do.
I guess
So
so.
I got to play hockey in a lot of Canada when I was younger.
Oh
Yeah, it was
shit,
good
man. I
fun.
could picture the big grizzly beard hanging out of the front of the helmet. I love it, man. I love it. So maybe I won't hook you up with him then, because we gotta hook him up with an African company, one of maybe Senegal or somewhere that they speak French, right? For that kind of a deal. So you work solely with the Philippines.
Well, we do have clients, DAs out of South Africa, and later on this towards the end of summer, we're going to be launching a bilingual service where they're going to be speaking Spanish and English. So we're looking to partner up with this organization in Central America. So we're expanding down there. So that should be yeah, I'm kind of excited about that.
Cool, man. And then we can get into AI too, the way that it can translate automatically. Even what I don't what do you think about this? An AI replacing the whole not VA, but you call it DA?
DA, distant
DA.
assistant.
Distant assistant. Okay, interesting differentiation there. And
Yeah.
I think that there's something to be said about that too. I was talking the other
I
day
can tell
with.
you some differences here in a while, but I'd love to hear your AI question.
I forget it now. Actually,
Well, one of the
this is
biggest
it. How
things.
do you see an AI agent completely taking over the DA realm as opposed to having that human-to-human connection? And maybe in 10 years, how do you see that playing out?
Oh yeah. So if you're not on the AI bandwagon, my personal belief is if you don't jump in it, you're going to be out.
Yeah,
Even
well.
right now, it's only been around for a short time. It's been around for quite a while, too, actually. But what how we know it today as
Yeah.
ChatGPT powered engines and Claude and all of these different ones, Bard, I think. It was a big concern for a lot of our assistants. They're like, "Oh my gosh, are we going to
Yeah.
lose our jobs?" And I said, "Absolutely not. This is going to enhance
Big
your
time.
position." And so everybody needs to learn this. So we did training on it, and we got people down to learn how to write out detailed prompts and how to keep drilling down and drilling down on it till you can really, really zone in on it. And what we found is by teaching them to do this, they're actually improving their efficiency while at work for our clients. And it's been a big game changer. So what's going to happen is roles will definitely change. So what is here today may or may not be true in 5 years, 10 years. But
Yeah.
what you'll see is new roles will appear.
Of course.
It's just like when the computers came out. Look at how many jobs computers took away, but how many other jobs were born from that? And look, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, there was no need for a social media manager. right? There was no need for that. Social media was, I remember first getting on there, I'm like, how is this going to provide ROI, you know? And I thought it was more of just a fun kind of thing. And now today, if you're not on social media, you're not leveraging relationships and networking, you and I would have never met.
True. Yeah, no kidding, right? And then you can expand, you can exponentialize that down the river and say, okay, so if this didn't happen, then all kinds of things that could just tree off and have this branching effect wouldn't have taken place without the initial connection that I found you on social media, for example. And so you don't know what you'd be missing out on if you weren't taking advantage of that. It's fascinating, man. You know, I was talking with a guy actually last night. His name's Mike O'Hagan, and he's an Australian. He runs a company in the Philippines, in office VA company. So, but not for administrative work. So he's not a competitor of yours. It's interesting. There's a synergy there. He does more trained, skilled. So, like, you know, lawyers, accountants, people that went to school.
Engineers,
Right,
yeah.
exactly. And then they'd be able to do more advanced work without as much of a training curve. But I
Yep.
want to get into that a little bit with you, man, because recently I was trying to hire a VA in anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the Philippines, just anywhere where I could do it relatively cheap and a lot less expensive than I would here in Canada. That's for damn sure. Or in the States, or in the West, as we call it, right? So I had a hard time, though, man. I had a hard time. I want to look at how you look at the training aspect of it, because for the administrative work, this is right up my alley with what I specifically need help with and what a lot of entrepreneurs do need help with right now to really get more out of their time. How do you look at the training to skills going into it ratio? So that, you know, because I interviewed a lot of them and I wasn't able to find them able to do a lot of the things that I needed them to do, even relatively simple ones without a significant amount of training. And so how do you
Right.
look at finding skilled versus training them yourself?
This is a really good question, and there's this will be a long answer, longer kind of answer, because there's several factors that you need to look at when doing this. So I wrote this book, Quit Repeating Yourself, right back here, and it's all about systems, processes, workflows. One of the biggest challenges that we have, that you and I have as entrepreneurs or business leaders, is we understand what we need to delegate, but we may not know how to delegate something effectively. And a lot of times what happens, and the reason for such high turnover rates in this world that we're in today, is because people have a fire hire, meaning there's a fire going on, they need to hire somebody and bring them in. Just find somebody that knows what they're doing, get them in here that's really good at it, and I don't have time to train. Those are some things right there that are very challenging. You can train your systems and processes and workflows and tasks and all of that stuff because you know that stuff. The likelihood of you liking to train, probably a different story, but you know all of that stuff. What you can't train is personality. And so many people, so many times, I've seen this. Over I have thousands of assistants over the 18 years of doing this. I've seen people hire somebody and not want to train them because they need them to know what they're already doing so they can come into this role and really, yeah, maybe some different ideas or some unique ways of doing it that I wouldn't have thought of because I'm not in that position. The challenge is you do need to find somebody with a certain level of skill set. But if you're looking for somebody to do exactly this particular thing, sell this widget or whatever it is, and they say they know how to do it, the challenge is if they don't get training from you as far as what your expectations are, it could be way off because what you're wanting them to do, which other companies hire somebody for the same exact thing, but what you're wanting them to do is your way or a
It's a
different, unique way
big
of doing
mistake
that,
when it
right?
comes to hiring, right? It's
Oh.
a totally different game because we get into entrepreneurship because we've got the spark, the innovative creativity, and it's so easy to see how you can do something more efficiently. And then watching other people do it less efficiently, or even if it's a different way, it can be frustrating, right? And so this is a
Right.
big mistake a lot of people make, and we don't learn it in school. It's difficult to really catch on to it, but to realize that your way isn't the only way, and maybe they'll come up with a more efficient, better way because this is what they're actually going to be doing on a day-to-day basis. And so that
Right.
comes down to not being so stringent with them doing it your way.
Well, actually, in the beginning, I would say I would encourage you to be stringent. Strict is maybe a too tough of a word, but be strict about it. And in order to find somebody that fits with you, you got to make sure that this person enjoys whatever it is you're going to be delegating.
Right.
So here's the best way. Would you like me to tell you the trick? I can tell you if you'd like. It's
No, I don't want
awesome.
to hear it. No, I don't want to, I ain't hearing no trick. It's okay. We'll just move on to the next thing. Come on, baby. What you got for me?
So here's the thing. You have to take a moment and do a brain dump. We call this a delegation roadmap. Write every single thing down that you do on a daily basis that is repeatable and assign two values. Number one, is it something you must do, or can you delegate this to somebody else who can do it? And here it is, 70% as good as you or better, because
70%,
you're
right?
already up here. You got to set that expectation. They're going to have a great skill set, a great personality, but they don't know you. They don't know who you are, what your vernacular is. They need to know what you believe in. What are your core values? They need to know all of this in order to perform their responsibilities up to your level of expectations. And that takes a little bit of time. So you do this delegation roadmap. You write everything down. You identify the first value, which is, should you do it or can you delegate this? And the second is this task give you energy or does it drain you of energy?
I love it.
Then you take a subset task list of all the things that you can delegate, all the things that you don't really like doing, right? And you write those down and you put them in a specific job role for that responsibility. So if you have a bunch of web-related work, you're probably going to hire a web developer. If you have a bunch of administrative work, calendars, email inbox, following up with clients, or whatever that may be, that probably goes under an executive assistant or maybe a success manager like sales support. Or if it's a lot of numbers and you want to get your books set, you need a bookkeeper. So, right? Whichever list has the most, whichever job role has the most responsibilities, that's who you look to hire for first. And then you take all of those tasks and you prioritize them. Two to five tasks should be high level. Red, whatever, a majority 10, 20, whatever should be medium-sized tasks or middle tasks or middle urgency, and then low. And then you take all the medium and all the low tasks, throw them to the side, focus on the high priority tasks. Then you take two through five and throw those out, and you focus on the number one priority. What gives you the just drains you the most energy. And then you pull up Loom or you write down whatever it is, and you actually document yourself doing that particular task the way
Yes.
you want to do it. And here's the gold. Do something as if it's the last time you're ever going to do it. I learned that saying from Scott Beebe, and it holds true to this day. So I know that I do not like doing accounting. I can't stand it, right? But what I did is I went through there one more time and I said, this is what I need. These are the reports that I'm looking for. This is what your role is going to be. It's going to do all this. And quite frankly, I think I'm doing this right, but I don't know. So if you can improve on this, please do so. And what you start doing, and you can do this on day one, by the way, is you start building a library of tasks. And that way, when somebody comes on board, in order to reduce that learning curve, they have what it is that you're doing. And they have everything. So they've got a library. They know exactly what you expect of them. And when you create a task, you only record for that task, right? And then you name it. There's a task is broken down into four steps. Name it, confirm it. So if you give me instruction, I'm going to confirm back to you. This is what you're asking for, correct? That way you'll be able to knock out any misunderstandings right away. The third thing is for you to review it and approve it. Right. So they say, yes, this is good to go. And the fourth thing is create that signal. So what does that mean? This is the step that most people miss. And this offers mass confusion. This is when communication is not on point. It usually is the fourth step of this, creating a signal. And what that means is what action needs to occur to make sure that Kyle knows this was done up to his level of expectation. Is it an email? Is it a tick box on a task management system? What action needs to happen to say, oh, I'm done with this? I don't know if you've ever heard this, but a lot of people want to find out how things are progressing, and they may ask you a question, where are we at with this? You ever heard that question?
Yeah,
Right?
yeah.
Where are we at? Like, client might call, hey, where are we at
I
with
say it to
this?
my
Right?
VA, I say it to my employees all the time. Where are we at with this? I said it today, for example. Yeah,
Yeah, right.
definitely.
Right? It would be so nice to alleviate that. And there's a way of doing that
Yes,
through this
yes.
system, right? And the other thing is, I don't know how to do that. And you know what? Hey, God bless you guys. You guys are here to help me and all this kind of stuff. But when you say you don't know how to do that, now I have to stop what I'm doing. I have to go kind of, okay, if I don't know how to do it either, I got to go figure it out. So what we do is we employ the 30-minute rule. And what that means is if I ask somebody to do something, Kyle, you may say, well, I don't know how to do that, but I would love to figure it out for you. So I'm going to employ the 30-minute rule. And what that means is it lets me know, whew, okay, he's got this. He's being proactive, right? And so 30 minutes, you go out and you Google search, you reach out to my internal team. Maybe they have the questions. Maybe you go to Chat GPT and find out some, but usually they'll find the answer within 5 minutes. If they don't, what they'll do is they won't spend all day on it. They'll max out at 30 minutes. They'll literally time themselves.
Ah,
And
interesting.
when they come back from that, they'll say, you know what? Unfortunately, Kyle, I couldn't find this for you. However, have you considered this, this, or this? And now you're like, oh, that's a good idea. So it takes that I don't know how to do it. And then the last biggest thing that we have the challenge with is if somebody asks, it's not only I don't know how to do it, but when you start working and someone comes in and they're like, what do you want me to do today? Well, you have the job to, like, you should know this. You should have weekly meetings at a minimum and discuss what those priorities are weekly. So what we've done is we've taken, been proactive, and our assistants will actually ask them, what are the priorities for the week? And what's really cool about that is they'll check in at the beginning of the day. Hey, I'm here. They're working remotely, right? At lunch, hey, I'm going out to lunch. Hey, I'm back from lunch an hour later. 30 minutes prior to the end of the day, hey, it's 30 minutes prior to the end of my shift today. Here's everything I did today according to the priorities. Here's what I have on my schedule for tomorrow according to the priorities we discussed. Is anything changed today? And then if they don't hear anything, nothing changes, they just say, okay, I'm gone at 5 o'clock. I'll see you tomorrow, the next business day. And then they come in the next business day, they know exactly what to do. So they don't have to waste that time like, hey, what do you want me to do? And I found that those three things have really shifted the mindset and taken a big load. So when you ask about training and how important it is, it's super important, especially in the beginning. But it may not necessarily be the training that you're thinking of, and the fact that if you use the mentality, do something as if it's the last time you're ever going to do it, it just lets you know, like, oh, I hate doing this, but you do it one more time and bam, you can delegate it.
Love that, man. I love it. One of the things that I did, and this tacks on to exactly what you just talked about, is I taught one person how to do it, even if I wasn't gonna hire them. I got them on the Zoom call for an interview. I taught them how it's gonna be done. And then my goal with that wasn't even to teach that one individual, because I was like, what are the chances that the first person I interview is gonna be perfect for it, right? But I wanted to explain it on video. So it was recorded. Then I took that transcript, I just uploaded it to YouTube as a private video, got the transcript with a Chrome extension, an AI Chrome extension. Super awesome. And I just copied the transcript, went over to ChatGPT, pasted the transcript in, and I said, out of this, give me a step-by-step roadmap in terms of what I explained to do without having to, right? So without having to manually write it all out myself. It was a lot faster for me to explain it step by step, right, and talking and actually doing it on screen, showing them, and then just being able to take that transcription, the recording for the video, just upload it to ChatGPT and getting that step-by-step roadmap out of it. Then I've got it on paper, and you can add that step by step to the like you said, to categorize them and would title them. So in that title, there could be the video explanation and the step by step. And yeah, so that's what works for me. And it's something that you can easily do.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the podcast, and I want to let you know that I've got a free book that you can get if you want to tap into more of these resources. And you can get that for free at kylesbook.com. Back to the podcast.
It's also
That's
something
genius. Good job.
Thanks, man. It's also something that you can have your VAs do or your DAs do when you're using them to connect with people. You can have them use that transcription to AI to provide a service to list owners, for example, do something that doesn't take you any time, takes your DA and not very much time at all, and gets a lot of value to somebody else because you're changing the modalities of whatever it is they're doing. And it's the same thing, just in a different context. Very cool, man. So what are some platforms that you recommend for it? And I know this kind of goes against, because you sell this for a living. So, but I want to get some advice, and then we can talk about hiring you to do this as the recruiting manager, and want to see how you look at it. So Upwork, what's your opinion on it?
Love Upwork. I think Upwork's fantastic. There's one thing that I've met several owners of different virtual assistant agencies. I even talked with Tim Sanders over at Upwork. He's I think he's the CMO or CFO, something over there. Huh. I think Upwork is fantastic. Online jobs, fantastic. There's Fiverr. There's all kinds of things like that. There's tons of services. Like since COVID, I've seen so many virtual assistant companies appear. It's based on what your needs are. If you're hiring and you're looking for somebody that wants to work long term with you and an actual role and a supportive role, which the bottleneck may be a great opportunity for you. If you're looking for a project based task, then maybe Upwork, maybe Fiverr, or maybe another virtual assistant agency that does project related work. And it just depends on who you are and where you're at and what it is that you're looking for, right? So we're the world's first dedicated distant assistant company. And the difference between a distant assistant and a virtual assistant is with virtual assistants, more transactional based in nature. And this is not a negative. We are no better than any other organization. We're just radically different. So instead of having a transactional-based relationship, we offer an intimate-based relationship. And basically what that means is we want our assistants to learn who they're working for. What do they believe in? All of that kind of stuff, the vernacular. When we're done with this conversation, I will probably say bye for now. I hope we talk again, right? Like, it's just a habit of mine. My assistants now, if you talk to them, they'll say bye for now at the end of the call. Right. It's different. Culture. And right. here was the other problem with virtual assistants, or actually, I don't like using the word problem, challenge. The other challenge that I found in the industry and why we needed to kind of differentiate ourselves was the turnover on average is 38%. The lifetime value, if you were to hire a human virtual assistant, is 5 months. That's about how long on average they stay at a certain job. Right. We didn't want that. We wanted to build long-term relationships. We just had somebody celebrate, I believe it was our 10th year. But our turnover is 7.8% for our clients. 7.8, unheard of. Mm. And what we found from that, because we learn who that person is and their distant assistant, so they built an intimate-based relationship, they're on board longer, right? The 39 months on average. That's over 3 years.
Oh, compared to the 5 months on average. No kidding.
Yeah, it's completely different. Yeah, so it's really big. Plus, at the end of 60 days, we take every single task that you delegate to us, Kyle, and we write it step by step down to the click of the mouse button. So go to this website with an image. Step two, in the right-hand corner, click on login, with an arrow going
just
there.
Just like what the AI did when I uploaded the exactly. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And we teach our DAs to leverage AI to support them with all of this stuff, right?
Yes.
So it's just so much clearer. Then we send that off to the design team. They make a workflow manual for you with a table of contents, all that stuff, and they send it to you. That's your asset. You own that. So now you have a section of your business systemized.
Yes.
It's processed out. Mm. And what's cool about that is if this person, you promote them or they move into a different role or they choose to leave in 3 years or whatever, and they were like, oh man, this person's really good. Now all of a sudden you can bring somebody else in. They know exactly what that person did.
Yeah.
Right. So the changes are so drastic, but when you look at platforms, it's what works for you. It really is. And I have no problem recommending you to another service. Some people don't want to hire from the Philippines. They want to hire in the US. Well, we don't do that. You can hire the same level of executive for about 78% less than you can what it would cost you. Like, Canada or US, it's a little bit higher, right? So the construction company in Canada that hired us, they're saving 70, 80% on these roles. And and they're getting high quality people for this, right? The world has shrunk because technology has improved, so our talent pool is massive. So it's really what works for you. I have no problem recommending. I have friends that have agencies, and I've recommended a lot of people. I've shared a lot of people that didn't work for us, but it may have worked really well for them.
I like that, man. That's a cool holistic approach to it. It's not selfish. It's just looking for the best result for the person you're talking with, which is that's I like that a lot, man. Let's get into the if you were to we can get into the listing side of it, and then we can look for the how to test for the skills that you need on the hiring front. So to attract the person that you want, you got to list out qualities and make it as attractive to them as possible, so the right candidates will reach out and be interested, and hopefully maybe even turn away the ones that wouldn't be a good fit right away, so you don't waste any time on them. How do you look at the whole listing side of it so that we can improve the longevity from 5 months to 36 6 months. Freaking insane. So how do we create a listing that's going to attract the ones that we want?
Well, if you look at, there's two sides of this. When you put out a job offer, you're putting out what we like to refer to as a job role and responsibilities, because we go into depth on what that role is, who you should be as a person for, that would be the really good fit for this, and then we list out all the responsibilities. And that right away, somebody's going to look at that job description or that job offer and look, okay, how much does it pay? That's the first thing they're going to do. How much does it pay? Right. And they're going to want to find that out. The second thing they're going to do is look over all the responsibilities and see if the responsibilities are within a certain scope that would fit their skill set. That'll be the second thing. So you want to make that exciting, right? And you want to make sure that you're not putting multiple responsibilities for, or responsibilities in there for multiple roles. It should be
Interesting.
very one specific role. Now, what we do here at Bottleneck is every January, every single person on my internal team, they rewrite their job role and responsibilities. For instance, last year, I had someone that was working in operations that really wanted to move over to HR. She let me know in January, rewrote it. Now she's our director of HR, right? Because that's where her she really loved doing that stuff. I'm not a big fan because it's a lot of detail and I'm not very detailed. She's massively detailed and she absolutely loves talking to new people and saying, hey, would you like to be hired as a distant assistant? Like it makes her feel good when she places them in this position. She's like, oh, we got this person to work. It's very rewarding for her. So you have to be careful when you do that. Now, on the flip side of this, when somebody goes through and they look at that job role and that responsibilities and they check the price, which they're going to do. If they get really serious, they're going to want to go and find out who the heck is this Kyle Campbell? What does he do? What does he believe in? They're going to go on social media and they're going to see, oh my God, oh, he loves hockey. I love hockey. Like they're going to look at stuff like that because they're going to see the money is what initially people are looking for a job for. But retention is culture and that positive culture or surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals. Now, when I say like-minded, I'm not talking about hiring another Kyle that you just like, this dude's awesome. He's like exactly like me. Why would you want to hire somebody exactly like you? You want to hire somebody that's maybe opposite you. However, they still have a share a common belief system with you. They like what you
Right.
like. They
Interesting.
want to help clients like you help. They want to do all this. Now, if you do not have that on your website, your culture, how you feel, what your core values are, how you believe, you may miss out on some really amazing people that would think I'm just coming for a job versus a career.
Right. You're tapping into something interesting, which is the personality types that are synergistic with yours and your organization as a whole. There was a book written on this. It's called Language and Behavioral Profiling by Shelley Rose Charvet. And she was, it's fascinating. It's kind of anchored in neuro-linguistic programming. It says that there is different personality types, but within the types, there are different sectors or different categories. For example, detail-oriented and generalistic. You're more general and you needed somebody to complement you that was more detail-oriented, especially for the accounting or for the HR role. And so there is the you can analyze the language that they use and be able to reverse engineer that so that you can get the people that you want. So that we're tapping into something interesting there. You can structure your listing so that way it's using the language of the person that would fit the role to be attractive to them. They wouldn't even consciously realize it. They would say, this fits for me. I don't know why, but it seems like it's they're speaking my language, you know? And so right, and
Absolutely.
so people will have a visual, auditory, kinesthetic modality that they like to engage with. For example, if you're hiring a video editor, you want somebody who is visually oriented. So in your listing, you could use you're going to see this and imagine this and visualize. So we're using visual language. But if you're hiring, let's say, an audio engineer, you can say, do you hear what I mean? You'll be able to listen, and so you're using auditory language, right? As opposed to a therapist, you
Absolutely.
would use kinesthetic language, which is feeling oriented. And so you can structure your ad to attract the right people based on that. Highly recommend that
100%.
book. It's fascinating. It's so cool to be able to target
I will
personality.
check it out. If you could send me a link, I'd appreciate it. I'd love to check it out. There's also a free site called 16 Personalities. You check that out?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. That's based on Carl
Yeah.
Jung's work. Yes.
Yeah. See, it's little things like that, and it's free. You can go in there and I would encourage any of your listeners or anybody that sees this to go try it if you haven't tried it, because it's interesting. Just be honest with yourself, right? Just be
Yeah.
honest with yourself. And it does a really good job. And if you can take stuff like that, you're right. You get to learn how to talk to somebody and what voice to use. Listen, by the way, was a word of the year for us. It was listen intentfully and soulfully to engage notably, right? So we have to listen to what it is that we can do for somebody in order to find the right fit. And you're exactly right. And neuro-linguistic programming, all that stuff plays a role in it. And you know what? You don't hire a business, you don't hire an entity, you hire a freaking human being. So don't use your buzzwords. There's plenty of time to teach them these buzzwords when they're in the or attract a human being, right? Or somebody that's going to fit with in your organization. And this person may be completely, maybe. So I'll give you an example. One of our web developers, he is just to the point. That's it, right? But he loves our culture. He loves it. He's not very talkative. You know, it doesn't speak the best English, you know, but man, he just loves the organization, the company, and he does everything he can for us. On the flip side, there is Javelin, and she is our operations manager. She is the friendliest, most approachable person. She's just really nice. But she's also very adamant and very detailed about what it is, directly opposite of me. So I know by asking her to do things that she gets a lot of energy from really differentiates herself in that particular role, wherein she could not be a web developer and the web developer cannot be operations. They wouldn't, if they rub people the wrong way, they just wouldn't work that way. And so by learning who they are and asking them, how would you like for me to address this? How can I support you? And you listen and listen and they'll tell you what their challenges are. I was really frustrated last week. I got all these things in. I told somebody I'd have their work back to them by the time, and I wasn't able to finish it. And I was all, okay. Because every week we do bandwidth ratings, right? 1 through 10. 1 means you don't have anything going on. 10, you're going crazy. And this person wrote 8.5. So we circled around. And we said, okay, anybody here have some time to support this person? Right. And that's how you kind of get around with all that. And that's where that culture comes in, even if there's different personalities within that culture, which, by the way, should have different personalities.
The bandwidth test, there's what weekly, would you call it a bandwidth
Bandwidth test.
Okay, yeah, so that's freaking sweet. Even that alone is awesome, because that alone would help your retention rate big time. Because if you catch something that's not going right, you catch something that's grinding the gears, they might not be open and tell you about it, but then it's slowly pissing them off, and then slowly eroding the company culture, and then, or at least their perception of it, and then they end up leaving you within 5 months, right? So that's
Absolutely.
an interesting little thing. Just to clarify, it was Words That Change Minds by Shelley Rose Charvet. Here, I just posted the link for you in the chat if you want
Oh,
to click on
nice.
that, so you
Thank
can
you.
check that out afterwards. Yeah, great book, especially for this. I think you'll find it fascinating, especially with what you do. It's also called Words That Change Minds because there's a persuasion element to it too, because you can analyze personality types of a client and be able to word your marketing, or one to many even word your marketing based on what they're most likely to respond to. So check it out, dude. You'll find it fascinating. It's worth the read.
Oh,
It's
I
only 10
will.
bucks on
Yeah,
Kindle.
I
I
love
love
that
it.
stuff, man.
Me too, man. I know. So you'll find it fascinating. It's up to 1900 ratings now. Holy shit. I bought it like 4 years ago and it was at like 100. So it's pretty cool to
Oh
see it's
my
catching on, man.
gosh.
Yeah.
That's
So
so cool.
what are some of the questions that you put on this weekly assessment, so that way you can gauge their satisfaction levels?
We ask them right out, what's your bandwidth? Right. And so everybody puts there, and some people get creative, 7.369, and they have fun with it. And what we even talked about it this morning in our meeting. We use, a task management system and stuff, and some of the conversations were getting lost, right? Or not being answered correctly or in time. And so it was causing some added stress because people were trying to figure out what's going on with this. So we were thinking about we could do some different things. So there's this bandwidth score, and if you're overwhelmed, it means there's too much going on and you're starting to lose control, so you get stressed out, right? So we thought maybe for each task, when a task is assigned to somebody, there's a tick box that says, yes, I accept this task and we'll have this completed within 3 days. And that was a challenge that we had. Because we would say, yes, we'll complete this task in 3 days. That's our promise and our commitment, right? But because we were getting so many tasks incoming, one or two slipped through the cracks and went beyond that 3 days and didn't get properly QC'd, quality control, right? And so client says, what's going on, right? So the problem was, or the challenge was, that we were not able to. Whoever took that task was afraid to say, I can't finish it in 3 days. And so what I want to do is I need them to explain to us, and they need to add a disclaimer every time they click that button to receive a task. Anybody, yeah, our external DAs, my internal DAs, they need to do one thing, add a disclaimer. And what that means is, if you get a boss and he says, okay, I need this, right now. Okay, it's going to take me about 3 days to get it done. Just want to let you know, if another emergency pops on, I may not have to do it because right now I've got all this work to do and these were the priorities. Are you asking me to rearrange these? No. You need to keep doing that, but I still need this. Okay, it's going to take me about 3 days, but it may take longer. I just want to let you know that. As soon as you say that, you're golden, right? You're still going to work your hindquarters off to try and finish everything, and maybe you finish it earlier. But I always like to under promise and over deliver. So while it may take us 3 or 4 days to go and find and match some candidates for you to interview, I always tell it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks. I always do that.
Interesting.
And
Something to be said about that with any service business, to under promise then over deliver in that tactical way, because then you associate yourself with above and beyond. I love that. I always live by the motto over promise and then over deliver, because I'm a marketing guy, right? So I gotta get the promises up. But in turn, I like that a lot though. I like that approach, because you're like I said, building associations that if he says X, he's actually gonna give me Y, which is way better. And so,
Absolutely.
right, which is, it goes back to the longevity of the clients. So, brother, let me ask you this, but as we kick this off, what's something that I should be asking that I'm not asking, but if I were to ask it, would give an entrepreneur or a business owner the number one tip of how to go about hiring and keeping good talent on board?
Yeah. What I just said, the best thing for you to do, I said a little while ago, but the best thing to do is start documenting your processes on day one. even before you even consider hiring anybody. Now, they say the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, right? When's the second best time to plant a tree? Today. The best time for you to start building your processes is day one when you opened up your business. Start documenting everything that you eventually are, that you do every single day. Anything, anytime you repeat it, whether it's repeated twice a year, once a year, or twice or three times a day, doesn't matter. Anytime a task is repeatable, I implore you to document it and start building that library, because there will come a point in time, if you love what you're doing, you're growing your business, you're going to need support. And you're going to need to hire somebody, whether that's through Bottleneck or it's through Indeed, or I don't know where, whatever it is. If you have that library of systems, a person coming into your environment is going to be able to get up to speed so much quicker. Because right now it costs on average about $6,500 in US to hire somebody. That's just to hire. That doesn't include training or anything like that. Just to hire somebody. To fire somebody can cost up to 9 months' salary. That's insane. So you want to make sure that you're hiring the right person. How do you find that right person? Because you find somebody that has personality and aligns with your belief system, your core values, and then you teach them skill set. Like I said, you can't train personality, but you can train the heck out of how Kyle does certain things. And here's the beauty of it. When they come on board, they're like, oh, do this, this, and this. They may find little holes, something that you miss. Go, well, what do I do after this step? Ooh, good point. You need to do this, right? So what they're going to be doing is they're getting tons of energy out of these tasks that you don't get much energy out of, right? So are you able to focus and do the podcasts, or travel, or do whatever it is you need to do to move the needle in your organization? They love moving the needle in that specific role within those responsibilities. And what you'll find over time, because they really love that stuff, they're going to improve your process. Right?
Really,
So
man,
I
I
don't
feel
even write
you.
all of the processes anymore. My team does, because they're the ones doing it. Quite
Yeah, you
frankly, I've
outsource the
never been in my
outsourcing,
tech.
which is
Yeah,
freaking
I've never been
sweet.
in my task management system ever once. Right? But they're experts at it. And the way that we've worked out the communication and how they love this task management software because it does all the things that they've wanted to do, it's freaking awesome. But we could have never done that had I never wrote my first workflow.
With the task management software, that's interesting because you're kind of gamifying tasks. You're giving them checks. Because, like, when you write a to-do list, for example, the best part about a to-do list is checking one off. You get a little dopamine rush. You're like, yeah, I accomplished something. Yeah, nice, right? And so you're giving them that. You're making the work more, a little bit more entertaining while giving them the step-by-step workflow so they're not guessing. And then they're able to improve upon it moving forward, which is freaking cool, man. What do you think about this? What do you think about hiring somebody in the Philippines, for example, and bringing them to your, because I talked about this yesterday, and this is an interesting idea. Since you're saving, let's say, $1,000 a week for a VA or a DA in the Philippines as opposed to the States, you can take just 1 week of savings, invest that into a plane trip for them, have them come and even live at your house for a month or two, really get everything in the company culture down, and have them like think about the loyalty that that would generate, right? And you create a relationship that could be fulfilling for years and years to come, and you have that relationship built in. Cemented. What do you think about that? Being able to fly them in and create that bond.
I think it's fantastic. We had someone from South Africa fly in to Florida to train with with our client for 2 weeks. Never been to America before, never been to Disney, got to do all these cool things, got embedded into their culture. Now that's the only time that's ever happened, but I would encourage it. I think it would be fantastic, in much the same way that I can't wait to go to the Philippines, at the end of the year. It's going to be
Right,
a lot of fun
exactly.
and hang out
Yes.
with them and experience their culture. That's going to do wonders, for me to learn more about them. I think that's a great idea. Is it manageable? It depends on what the organization is and how profitable they are and all that kind of stuff. But what I would do prior to doing that, because that happened to me when I actually got fired from a staffing agency. And what they did is they brought me in, they flew me to training, brought me back, and I didn't like the culture, right? So a word came down, you got to let this guy go. So I had to do the old walk of shame, but it's so important that you bring somebody on And that's why I say that first 60 days is when they get the workflow manual back to you. Work with them for a while. We do 6-month business reviews to make sure that our DAs are hitting their KPIs and our clients are happy. Are they doing everything you thought they did? Did they do anything unusual? Did they do something to, surprise you? What happened over the past 6 months? Now you've got some time to go. It's after that kind of beginning of the relationship, knowing that somebody really fits in. That's when I say, invest some more things and invest some more time and maybe fly them out. Fly them out and have them spend some time with you in person, because that does wonders, by the way. But make sure that you're doing it with somebody who's really doing a good job, really vested in wanting to learn more and build a career out of this thing, as opposed to bringing somebody and flying them out right away. Who knows what's going
Yeah,
to
right, of
happen?
course. Yeah, no kidding. Dude, I like it. I think that we touched upon the main topic of this, which is the reporting end of it, tracking, and not just guessing, not just trusting that it's working, but tracking on a week-to-week basis, and then having let's say quarterly reports for every 60 days, having that the macro really measured out for both sides, for you and for them, so that way everybody's happy, making sure that there's no friction and everything's rolling smoothly. I love it, man. So thank you for that. What else do you have to add before we kick this off?
No, I just, man, Kyle, it's been great chatting with you. I love how this is just kind of low key and just a conversation, a
Yeah.
dialogue, and it's been interesting. I've loved hearing your points of view, and I guess all I want to say is, how can I support you?
I love it, man. I love it. Well, let me support you first because that's my style. How do we get people to work with you? What's your website? What are your social handles? Where do they find you?
You can, anywhere you find bottleneck, distant assistance. Like I said, we're the world's first distant assistant company. So if you Google virtual assistants, it's very packed.
Yeah.
Distant assistant,
I
you'll
like
find
that,
us.
man. It's like
Yeah.
a new
Yeah.
nice little niche that you carved out in the marketplace there.
Yeah. We love it, man. Yeah. So just go to bottleneck.online, anywhere on the socials. I do two articles on LinkedIn a week. And then we also have the Bottleneck Buzz newsletter, just all kinds of content that come out. We do a spotlight on one of our clients or one of our friends that looking to grow their company. So whatever it is that they're doing, we spotlight them, and we just really love giving back, man. It's a blast.
I
Yeah,
love
we
that,
love it.
dude. Awesome. And you got a good vibe to you too. I like it a lot. I like to talk with you all day, but I appreciate you, man. So yeah, thank you for being here, brother, and I hope to have you back sometime, okay?
Oh man, thank you. Appreciate you, Kyle.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that podcast episode. And if you want to get a free copy of my book, go to kylesbook.com and you can get a copy there. I'll talk with you soon.